church.
Morning.
Got two things. First one is, I just want you all to know that my wife and I have been married for 33 years. Yeah. Friday. I'm sorry, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. I get nervous when I'm up here.
Yeah.
But anyways, it's been 33 years.
Amen.
As of Friday.
Amen.
It hasn't been the easiest. You know, we've had our ups and we've had our downs. But
it's the way it works.
Like I said before, if I had to do it over again, it'd still be with Crystal.
Amen.
Yeah, she's the best thing that I could have outside of salvation.
Right.
I believe that. She's the best thing for me. She does treat me right. Thank you. Amen. And then ever since she's she accepted the word, it's just been that much more sweeter.
Amen.
You know, it helps the home, it helps us. So just keep it up, keep your chin up, you know, show the world your light.
Amen.
Let it shine.
Amen.
And I just want to say I love you.
Amen.
Amen.
And, you know, another 33 years, Lord. I almost don't want to say that. 33 years. If it has to be another 33, then so be it.
Amen.
I'd rather be gone and share eternity with you. But, you know, if it's got to be 33 more years, just hang in there. So that's one. And then two, I got a song that I want to play, but I'll let you testify if you want.
I can't come in the doors without giving God the thanks for being here.
Amen.
Amen.
That was my fourth bout with COVID.
Wow.
My husband's first. And I just thank God for this leadership here.
Right.
You know, because every leadership is different. But we have the best leadership in the world.
We do.
And then it goes down to our husband. I want to thank God for my husband, my love. He set the pace when we got COVID. He got COVID first in the house. And I was taking care of him, and I contracted it again. But what he said, he just put the word on it. He said, by stripes we heal, and we're just going to relax here and wait for the manifestation of it. So it was no struggling like, oh, why am I sick? Why did this happen? It was just peace.
Amen.
You know, and I thank God for that leadership that he laid out. It wasn't, you know, we're tossing and turning. And some people, you know, they get sick. They can be a pain. But it wasn't like that, you know. Just because you're in pain don't mean you have to be a pain. You know, and it's just, you know, it was just wonderful. It was laid back. It was wonderful. And I want to thank God as well for my husband because, you know, through it all, the boys kept taking care of us, and he was like, I just thank God for my boys. And that touched me so much because he is identifying with what's part of me,
right,
you know, and they weren't doing it because, oh, Brother Locke is with my mother. They were doing it because of who he is.
Right.
They were like, what does Brother Lockett need? They didn't say, Mom, what do you need? You know, even though it went together, but I'm just thankful because that is a part of that oneness in the body as well, you know, which comes from our leadership. Our leadership showed us how this should work.
Right. Yeah.
You know, even Brother Childers showed us how we take care of our elders.
Right.
Brother Childers was a great example.
Right.
If somebody's not taking care of them, I'm bringing them here and I'm going to take care of them.
Right.
You know, so we've had that teaching, and Pastor Moore is the same way. You know, he's followed those footsteps because he's been trained in that leadership.
Amen.
And I just thank God because not everybody has this leadership.
That's right.
It's just not out there. You know, and I'm just so thankful because it's the mind of Christ. This is what Christ would do.
Amen.
You know, so I'm just so happy. And I just have one more little testimony. And Krista, I hope you don't get, I already told her this testimony, but I didn't want, you know, to say anything out, but I'm going to say it because it was part of me. When they put the list out, they said, everybody sign up that want to go. So we were out in there and we were signing up, and she said, I'm going to put my husband's name up here. And so in my thinking, I walked back in. At the time, he wasn't here. And she said, I'm going to put his name up there. And so then I walked in, and I was like, oh, she's wishing he would come. And so I get in here, and I sit down. God, Pastor Moore stood up. He said, that's not a wish list. He said, everybody on that list going. And it just, it cleared my thinking. Then the another part to it came was, God was like, you don't give your husband a wish list. When I'm talking to Lockett, my love, I don't say, honey, here's the list. I wish you would do it. I say, this is what I need done. You know, and God said, that's how you treat me. Yeah, I'm going to meet your need. You just tell me what you need, and I got it. And I don't go pat back behind him and say, when you're going to do it? How are you going to do it? How many contractors do you need? Blah, 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 blah. You need me to help you? I don't say none of that. I just slide that list over, go back out, and do whatever I'm going to do with the confidence that my husband has it. Amen. And that's the same thing with God. You know, he's like, you don't give me a wish list. That's not, no. That's for Santa Claus. That ain't for God. No. God provides for his wife.
Amen.
You know, he said, just tell me and leave it in my hands and I have it. You know, so I just want to thank God for all this revelation.
Amen.
Thank God for my family. And I'm just so proud. I'm so overjoyed with things like this, what it brings out. It brings out the true character of a man.
Right.
So I just thank God.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
You know, lately I the older you get, harder to play this thing. There's a really weak muscle right in here. And lately, I'm noticing that my endurance has just gone downhill, and I was almost to the point. My apologies. And I was to the point where I was ready to hang this up, Brother Moore. I was really ready to hang it up and just tell Brother Jay, you got the torch now. It's all yours. And then the next morning, I just turned on my phone, and it just opened up to this gentleman who's 99, is still playing the horn. And I said, okay, all right, okay, yeah. I said, okay, Lord, I'm not putting it down. I'll just start practicing more.
Right.
So I want to do a song that it's I'll Fly Away.
Right.
I think it's in your G. And I was going to have Brother Jay play with me this morning, but he's out, so.
Amen.
God bless him.
Amen.
Hope
Amen.
To see you soon, Jay.
Amen.
Play it for him.
Thank you. God for that revelation.
Amen.
Thank God for this place. Thank God for this hour and an opportunity to give God praise. Let's go. We have a little song we're going to play for you. Anything you do, you better get your time in.
Amen.
We don't have long. We don't have long.
Amen. Amen.
You know, we practice this song a lot, and we really enjoy it. And I was practicing it yesterday at home, and it just didn't sound right. Something sounded wrong. You know, I couldn't sing it. It didn't sound good at all. And I realized I was playing it in the wrong key. You put it in the right key, and it sounds great.
Yeah.
And I was thinking while we were worshiping this morning,
yeah,
this word we get in here, you know, if you apply it in your life, you put it in the right key,
that's right.
God
it'll
blesses.
Work.
It sounds good. Okay. Life Amen. Is good. Amen. You put it in the wrong key, you're going to feel it. You're going to hear it. Right. You're not going to enjoy it.
Amen. That's true.
Amen.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. Shall be given unto you. Knock and ye shall find. Knock at the door, shall be opened unto you. Alleluia, alleluia.
Just didn't want to miss another opportunity to get up and thank God for this day and allowing me to believe this message.
Amen.
There's so many things I could say, and you know you can't get them all out, but I do want to say the musicians, I used to hear with one ear, and now I'm hearing with another ear, and it's absolutely beautiful.
Amen.
Amen.
I may not be able to play an instrument. I can't sing that great, but I can stand, I can clap, and I can sing along.
Amen.
I just want to do whatever God wants me to do.
Right.
I believe this message, and it is just, it's just moving in my life.
That's right.
The preacher that was here on Wednesday, I shared with the pastor that it was exactly the testimony that I had if I would have had an opportunity to get up. That I'm just battling with myself, and I want the body to just pray that I allow God to just keep working in my life, because I can't do it on my own. And the pastor has so much on his plate. I can bend his ear every day, but I try not to do that.
Yeah.
But it is just,
It's the devil. I know it's the devil, but my heart is pure and it wants to do. It's not pure. Let me take that back. That's on record.
Your soul's pure.
It is.
Amen.
It is. My soul is
pure. Your soul is pure.
And my heart wants to do the right thing. And I just battle with myself when you have that alone time. That's what you do, and that's what the devil's workshop is when you're alone.
Amen.
And so I so look forward to coming to church on Wednesdays, Sundays, whatever day these doors are open. I plan to be here.
Right.
No matter what someone says on the outside.
Amen.
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 I'll just follow right behind you with all that. You know, for me, it's always been a bit of a struggle to get up too, because my heart is always so full.
Amen.
And I love this place so much, and I know you do too, because I feel that in your heart every time you get up. We have that kindred spirit.
Amen.
The way that we love our Lord.
Amen.
You know, I just wanted to give him praise and give him thanks for me.
Right.
For what he's done for me.
Right.
And Brother Moore, I want to thank you so much, my pastor. I love you so much. I love this ministry.
He's good to us.
Right.
I couldn't be who I am without you.
Amen.
I couldn't be who I am without my husband. I'm so grateful.
Amen.
To have someone in my life that believes this word with me. And I just wanted to say, you young people that don't have anyone yet, make very sure that you get someone within the message, outside the message. Find somebody within the word that you can love. Because we have examples in here. We have Jeremiah and Elise and Dwayne and Johanna. And
Amen.
I mean, these wonderful... Kara. But, you know, we have those examples.
Yes, we do.
Look at those examples. You know... Follow those examples because you will be blessed. You will be so blessed if you follow those examples.
Amen.
And just stand on that. But, you know, I just wanted to get up and just thank God for me.
Right. Amen.
For what God's done for me. He's touched my body.
Yes.
You know,
Amen.
I was super sick there for a while. He's touched my body.
Right.
He's let me have more days here.
Amen.
He's
Amen.
Let me have days to come in here and sit down and listen to this word and enjoy this revelation.
Amen.
You know, I was on my way home from Kentucky yesterday, and sometimes I just start singing, and I just, I make up things. You know, I just make up things.
Amen.
I make up praises to my Lord. Yeah. You know, I say, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for everything that you've done for me, and I am
Amen.
So grateful. I love you, Brother Lockett.
Amen.
Amen.
But I just
Amen.
Wanted to get up and say I love the Lord. I see him moving in my life all the time. I see him doing things that I don't, you know, I see doors open that were closed.
Amen.
They're opening. You know, I haven't actually worked since probably June because I hurt my arms. And then I ended up really, really, really sick outside of hurting my wrist. And so I thought, well, I'm just going to go ahead and retire.
Amen.
And so, you know, Stephen and I, you know, we discussed it. And so I am going to go ahead and I am going to retire.
Good.
But I also talked to my employer. And you know what they're doing for me? Because they love me. I asked for a job that I've wanted for a very long time. I'm going to have one patient. So for the 12 hours each day that I'm there, and it's just part time, it's just a little add-on to my retirement.
Right.
So I'm like,
Lord.
So
you're a crisis worker.
I start that next month,
Amen.
And if I'm not happy with it, if it's not what I think, hey, I'm
retired.
So you know, it's all good. It's all good. But you know,
Amen.
When God opens a door and everything just falls
right
into place,
Amen.
It's like, here it is. You know, let me give you this.
Right. Amen. Amen.
I just say thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you for that. Thank you, Brother Moore.
Amen.
Thank you for the leadership here.
Yes.
Thank you for.
That's a blessing.
It's such a blessing.
Amen.
I'm just so it's full today, and I'm so grateful, and I'm so thankful.
Amen.
For what he's done for me.
Amen.
and I can never get out what I want to say. But that's okay.
That's all
you
right.
get up here and you say what he wants you to
hearts.
Say.
Amen.
I just wanted to say, I love the body.
Amen.
Come on, Deacon. God bless Brother Lockett. Amen. Amen. Bless our brother. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you.
Soldier.
I feel like St. Notre or something. Amen. Thank
Amen.
God. Thank you all.
Yes.
I appreciate each and every one of you. God is so good, ain't he?
Yes.
Amen.
He is so wonderful. I was just standing back there thinking, all the sisters getting up, what's the matter with your brother?
Amen.
Amen. This brother be sister day or what?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
All right. Amen. I'm thankful. I appreciate the Lord.
Amen.
Appreciate being here. Appreciate my health and strength.
Yes. Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
God has been good to me.
Yes, he has.
Amen.
Yeah, I went through a little thing there, but no
That's
problem.
Right.
It's,
Amen.
It's over.
Amen.
Amen. Right. We appreciate this place. We
Amen.
Thank
Amen.
God. I thank the Lord. Amen.
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 Thank the Lord for seeing my brother here now. He slipped in on me while I was gone.
Amen.
Yeah. Waited and waited and waited for a long time.
Yes, but.
Looking for him, telling his wife, when did this fella gonna come? So thank you, brother. We're glad
Amen.
To have you.
Amen.
Amen. So I'm just thankful. Everybody pray for me.
Amen.
Good to see everybody.
Amen.
Doing well.
Good to see you, brother.
Amen, Brother Lockett.
Amen.
You know, I always say that Satan is a liar. It's hard to slip in here.
Yeah.
Brother Lockett. I've been waiting. Yeah. But I was just thinking, what a liar Satan is.
Because
you know, the greatest battle ever fought is in the mind.
Right.
And you know, when Satan gets one of his sheep by themselves, he tries to talk to them. But we know what our desire is. We know who we are.
Amen.
We don't have to listen to him.
That's
we don't
right,
have to.
Right.
Just drive that stake.
Amen.
You know, just drive that stake. And you learn that. You learn that as you apply this word, that your soul is perfect.
Amen.
Your soul
Amen.
Is perfect.
Right.
I say it all the time. I say the same things all the time because they're
it's
true.
The truth.
They're true, and I
it's
can't the get
truth.
Them get away from them.
Amen.
But my soul is perfect.
It's God.
Right. You know, and I can say that full confidence because my soul is God.
Right.
And how much more perfect can I get than that?
Right.
He and I are one.
Yes.
You know, and even if my mind wanders and, you know, Satan gets at my flesh or gets me alone or, you know, makes me feel depressed or makes me feel I'm not worthy or makes me think I'm not doing something right. I'm perfect.
Amen.
And I throw that back in his
Amen.
Face every time.
Every
time he comes at me.
Amen.
You know, and he always tries to come at you when you're down, you got a headache or whatever. You know, we're all different.
Amen.
We're all different. You can be with 1,000 people and still be alone.
Right.
You know, but just throw it back in Satan's face because Satan's nothing.
Right.
Satan's been, he was defeated the foundation of the world.
Right.
It's just being manifested.
Sure.
You know, and I just thank God for that. I thank God, you know, we've been saying thank God for our pastor. Because we do have true leadership here.
We do.
But I thank God for our body, too.
Amen.
Because we have a true body.
Right.
We have a strong body.
Right.
We're all just foundational
Amen.
In this word. You know, none of us. We're all strong. We might, you know, all this stuff, but let me tell you, you're strong.
Comes to the word.
You are strong because.
More than an overcomer.
You're more than an overcomer because you are
the
word made flesh.
Yes. Yes.
There's nothing. Jesus did
Amen.
Something in his day that he had to do.
Amen.
And I'm doing something in my day. He's my elder brother in a
yeah.
sense. Because when it's all said and done,
yeah,
he's going to turn it over and God will be all in all.
Right.
always respecting for what he did.
Right.
Now, I'm not downplaying him.
No.
But I'm saying that I play a part too.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I know my part.
Yeah.
And I'm playing my
part.
We
all play the part.
And it just encourages me.
Amen.
Now, Monday will roll around, and it might be gloomy outside, and I might not talk like this again. But in my soul, it's sunny and bright.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Amen.
I know we got to get the offering up, but I'm on my way to get it. But I just want to say something really quick. I was thinking this morning as we were getting ready, I really mean this from the bottom of my heart. I'm honored to be in this church picture because this is the body. This is the
time
body. I was like, God, thank you for allowing me to be in this space at this right time. As Brother Brandon said, there's no other time or place. I'm so thankful I'm identified with this body.
Right.
And then as the brother preached on Wednesday, I really appreciated that commission.
Yeah.
But I really asked myself, what is our commission?
What is our commission?
And I really thought in my head, like, what does this bride have to do? And I could only think of a few things.
Yeah.
It's really about getting our loved ones
up. Get the dead up.
I believe that.
Yeah.
I thought about love and respect. I could hear Brother Childers, love and respect, whether it's your pastor, it's your ministry, your elders, or your spouse, your kids loving their parents, love and respect. And then the last one, Revelations 10, 8 through 11, we are prophesying again.
Right. Oh, yes.
I was like, I don't know what else there is to do, Lord. If
speaking
it is, tell me, because I'm a believer.
Right.
What you tell me to do, I'll do. I'm just thankful to be here.
Amen.
Amen.
That's what I love about this place. It's family night, or family day, I should say. We've got a real body.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, and I love that. You know, when Brother Lockett was out, you know, my heart was thinking about him
always.
All the time. I called. I checked on him.
Yeah.
We are a brother's keeper.
Yeah.
You know, I do have a responsibility in this thing. It's not just a loyalty to the church. It's loyalty to the body. And, you know, our heart bleeds and we're looking for one another. And I love that because if you go out here, all they are is just a bunch of social gatherings, just a bunch of social clubs.
Yeah, yeah.
Somewhere else they can gossip and talk or whatever.
Gossip.
But in here, it's heartfelt.
Yes.
When you're down, I'm down. When you're out, I'm thinking, Lord, bless him, touch him. You know, I think about Trevor all the time, just thinking, touch my brother.
Yes.
You know, I think about Don. I think about different ones that Lord needs to touch him. John and Don, of course, you know, his brother Moore always reminds us, still going through it. But that's what it should be. You know, this is all we've got, brother and sister. And I'm not saying all we got in the sense of something small. We got the mightiest group there ever has been. But you're still all I got.
Amen.
I still have an obligation to you. I still have a love. You know, when you come in here, it's just an opportunity for family to see family one more time.
Right.
Because like John said, you get out there on Monday and you're back in the ring again. It's a back on the battlefield again. You know, Skyler had an opportunity he was delivering to the other day to the university. And I got an opportunity to see him. I thought, that's precious.
Right.
You know, just to see a part of the body, that's a precious, precious, precious thing. Don't take that lightly.
Right. Right.
I mean, that's a beautiful thing. When you know who it is, when you know who you're talking to, when you know who's in the ring with you, it makes all the difference in the world.
Amen.
You know, Brother Moore, I remember, years ago when I was going through things, you know, and I love this because it means something personal to me. I was with you before you got into what you're going through. I'll be with you when you get on the other side of whichever you're going through.
That's right.
And that's the way a body is. That's
Amen.
The way family is. They don't care about everything else. They don't care about what it is you're going through, but they're there for you. And that's what we do for one another. And, you know, and to have an opportunity to come in here and say, Lord, thank you one more time.
Sure, right.
To be a part of the conversation.
Amen.
To be able to come in here and I hear the word and I believe it. I'm a believer.
Amen.
Something inside of me just says yay and amen. It's
amen.
Nothing, and not even a struggle.
No.
Not even something you have to try to work yourself into. It's just, just
That's
flow cool. right into that sweet song,
amen.
That sweet harmony. Just get right into the rhythm of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come in here just to be able to raise my hand and say, Lord, I'm identified with this. I can go back. Oh, Lord, I can go back through the pictures 31 years. And I can see myself back then as just a young boy.
Yeah.
Didn't know anything.
Right.
Oh, my. Today, got to identify one more time.
Amen.
I'm a strong believer. And when I am out there, encourage yourself in the Lord.
Amen.
But I've got a room full of believers around me. I've got more than you can. I've got so many that you can't see, so many that you can see. I'm surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses.
Yes, sir.
Oh, the room is full. It's packed in here. If you can just see it, this room is packed. My commission to get the dead up, that's what I'm here for. I'm just looking for that next word that's going to carry me a little bit further down the road till they say it's time, honey. You've waited long enough. You've got yourself ready.
Right.
The bride has got herself ready. She's standing on her feet.
Yeah.
Brother Brandon says there's nothing else left. He said, I can't see anything else left out there for you to do.
Come on.
Just like Jesus had his part to do, we've got our part to do, Brother John.
Amen.
And I think about a song just a few seconds ago. I just come to praise the Lord.
Amen.
That's what I come to do. I just come to praise the Lord. That's what I'm here for everything that he has done, that he is doing, and that he will do. So help me out and do whatever you got to do.
Amen.
Oh, Lord.
Amen.
I just come to praise the Lord. Help me out on
that. That's all right.
I just come to praise the Lord.
Let's try that.
I just come to praise the Lord. I just come to praise Him. I just come to praise Him. I just come to praise the Lord. Oh, I just come to praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Sounds much better.
I just come to praise the Lord. I just come to praise Him. I just come to praise Him. I just come to praise the Lord. Oh, I just come to praise the Lord. I just come to praise the Lord. Come to praise the Lord, and everybody sing hallelujah, hallelujah, glory, hallelujah, 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 glory, hallelujah, hallelujah. I just come to praise the Lord. I just come to praise Him.
I just come to praise Him.
I just come to praise the Lord.
One more time. I just come to
praise the Lord. I just come to praise the Lord. I just come to praise Him. I just come to praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. You know, it's not that hard.
Oh, no.
It's so simple.
Pretty easy.
And Satan spends so much time trying to make it so hard. I'm here. I'm praising Him. I only got to remember a couple things.
Yeah.
It's well with my soul.
Yes.
Satan can't touch it.
Can't touch
it. And I'm going home real soon.
Amen.
That's all I need to know.
Amen.
That's all I need to remember.
Right.
Everything else is fodder for the burning.
That's right.
I wanted to sing that song 224. It is well with my soul.
It is well.
He's taught me to say,
it is well
with my soul. When anything else comes and goes,
doesn't matter.
I know it's well with
right?
my soul.
Amen.
I've got a
Amen. That's my overcoming. And we'll get Him up.
Amen.
When peace like a river attendeth my way. Sorrows like sea billows roll. Whatever my lot,
Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you this morning, not bringing our own righteousness or our own things that we might, Lord, be able to present to you that make us worthy of you coming and dwell amongst us. But Lord, we know it's been by your amazing grace that you have shown us who we are. And Lord, as we come and take a few minutes here this morning, we come to thank you for all that you've done. Thank you for being so good to us. Thank you for standing by our side. Thank you for being there when we didn't even know where we were ourselves. Thank you for health and strength. Thank you for answering prayers. Thank you for answering and standing by your word. Lord, as we come before you this morning, we know that, Lord, Satan's got to move aside because you're here and he can't stand in your presence. So we ask you to come and speak to our hearts, Lord. We know it's well with our soul, but give us a little something else to move up a little closer, to step a little higher, to press a little farther, Lord, knowing that it is well with our soul. But Lord, we want to give you all of our soul, spirit, and flesh. We want to be a vessel of honor that you could use for your glory. Thank you for the word that I have laid out before the people. Lord, their hearts are hungry for you, want to hear from you. And now, Lord, I ask you to move me aside. I don't have anything to give, but you have everything that you can give to us. Thank you for how you've been so good to us. I ask you to continue to touch Trevor in his condition. And as he prepares for another surgery, Lord, I ask you to be with him and Tina and the family, and ask you to be with those that are in a body here who needs a touch from you, that are afflicted one way or the other. Lord, whether it's COVID, whether it's ailments, illness, aches and pains, Father, whatever it is, you said that not even cancer would stand in our way. And Lord, we ask you to move on behalf of those that are even dealing with cancer, that Lord, that you can show who is in charge, that Lord, you get the glory and the honor of everything that comes our way. Thank you for this word. Thank you for giving us something to stand on, something to hold on to, something to give us a hope and a press. Have your way this morning, Father. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated.
Amen, amen, amen.
It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning.
Yes, it is.
It's funny because I picked up my Bible and it felt a little light. And I opened up and my tablet's at home. But that's all right. I always print out a copy. I said, the devil ain't going to get me. Because I never know, you know, you trust in technology. Sometimes they'll shut off on you, battery mess up, whatever. So I never leave home without a backup. And even if I didn't have the backup, I could pull up on the internet. If I don't have to pull up on the internet, I could preach without a book. It ain't going to stop the word of God. Nothing's going to stop the word of God. That's the hour we're living on, because we are the word of God. I can preach today without opening one scripture. I can quote the scripture and preach it. It doesn't matter about quotes and about writing something down, because God doesn't use what I'm writing anyway. He gives me an idea where he wants to start, but then he takes from there and it's his service anyway. I don't care. So it's good to be able to come and to share. Now, I got something here, and I want you all to understand, you know, we got brothers coming in. And I want everybody to understand, we ain't changing our doctrine. We ain't changing our focus. We ain't changing our direction. We're keeping the same revelation the angel gave Brother Childers in 1973. But what you got to understand is that I'm not the only one on display. Do you realize you're on display? When people come here, they're not just looking at me. Brother Branham said if you look at a congregation, you can see the pastor. And if you look at the pastor, you can see the congregation. They're here looking at you.
Amen.
And I get tickled. Some of y'all may not notice, but they come back. They come back when they're not even preaching. And there's an attraction here that's pulling people to come here to hear what's being preached here.
Amen.
To get in this atmosphere. Because this isn't your normal atmosphere. This isn't your normal message church atmosphere. And Brother Kobe tells them to come say, feel your freedom. You know why he says that? Because someplace you go, they don't feel their freedom. So sometimes you'll get a preacher who can really get with it. And sometimes you get some that's not so deep. I mean, the brother that preached Wednesday was only preaching about a year or so. But that's okay. Get them under this thing.
That's right.
Get them in. You can't get them clean unless you get them in the shower. So don't think we're changing anything. We ain't changing a thing. We're doing what God's ordained us to do, to get out and get in. And I'm going to get worse in getting out. I can feel it. I know this year I may not do too much. But then there's a next year. And if Lord tarries, there'll be some other things to do. So we've got things moving. We've got things on the run. So be not discouraged, little bride. Realize that it is God putting you on display. And people are recognizing that, and they're coming and testifying of it. They say, I've never seen a group of people. If you want to see people who love God, go to Fairborn. I mean, Amen. This is their testimony. Yeah. And they are exactly right. Amen. They get up here and get so anointed, they get cut off there. One brother told Brother Kobe, he said, I preached three messages in there that night because we pulled it out of them. Yeah. So it doesn't matter how much or how little they know. You know, we know the author. And we'll get some. Oh, I'm going to get something. If it's a Baptist, I'm going to get something. I'm going to pull some word out because I'm not going to go home with nothing. But so just understand that this is a process, not just me, but you are on display and they're being drawn to you. So if you ever wonder what's going on, that's what. And I'm watching it because the other night, brother came, preacher brother, came and not only did he come, but he come and sat on the front row. Didn't say a word, but wanted to get right under the fountain. Get close. And I thought, this is what it's about. The bride is on display. So they're looking at you. They're not just looking at me. They're looking at you. They look at how we interact. They look at how we take care of each other. They look at the whole ball of wax. So God bless you. Now, I do have something here. I don't know. I don't even know where this came from because it came in a box, and the box was addressed to us here, and when Clarice picked the box up and brought it home, I opened it, and this was in there, and I'm going to read you the letter that's in here. It says, Pastor Nate, Brother Jeremiah Allen, and Brother Pickens, Pastor Nate Moore, Fairborn Community Tabernacle. So you know they're watching the services. You know they called you by name. Not only did they do that, they've got a letter in here. Actually, I have three letters. There's one for each of us, but it's the same letter. So I'm going to read this letter. And you don't think it's important for us to do what we're doing. You know, there's more people in our service online than are physically in this building.
Amen.
There are. That's what I told Brother June. He said, yeah, brother. He said, I've seen it. You know, the people around the world are tuning in to your services. And it's not even showing everybody because a lot of people get the services after it's done. They'll come back and pull the service down and watch it. So There's people all over the world that are paying attention to your testimonies. It says, Dear Pastor Nate, Brother Jeremiah Allen, and Brother Pickens, we don't know each other, and I don't know if I'm doing this right, but you are all included sort of as one on the site. So our website, by the way. One on the site. So I'm including you all and providing you all with a music offering gift. Now they made three CDs, handmade CDs. Blessings to you and your family. Not less than to mine. You ain't getting that. I ain't through yet. I listened to it the other day on the way to work, and it's not a full tape. It's got about 4 to 6 songs on it, and it's just a blessing. And so they said a music offering gift. I can't tell you why you accept that in the early 90s, when I lived in Fairbanks, Alaska, I was reintroduced to an old friend I had met in Anchorage, Alaska, while serving in the Air Force. He and his wife and three children were followers of Brother Branham's teaching. I went to church with them in Anchorage, Alaska, a few months until I was transferred to Loren Air Force Base, Maine. So imagine how happy I was to run into his wife by accident in a store one day in Fairbanks, Alaska. But there are no tabernacles up that far in the state of Alaska to this day that I am aware of. So my husband, my daughter, and I began meeting in their home, and my friend was the officiating pastor. Just the two of our families attending. It had been just them alone meeting by themselves for many years before that. Could you imagine just you being a believer sitting at home with your family? And that is your church because you believe this message. And they did that for years. Now, y'all are blessed. just the two of our families, they did it many years before that. We attended their home meetings for maybe a total of 2 years. Another couple eventually joined. Soon, a turbulent, uncomfortable, dark environment began to blossom and flourish. Long story short, the meetings fell apart. Something happened in their house meetings. Now, here I am all these years later, and I see your site on the internet here in Fairborn, Ohio, where I moved back a few years to where I am pretty much raised. So they must be around here somewhere. So much time has passed, and so much has changed in my life. My hope is that you can perhaps find a blessing in one of the messages in the songs. I have a close friend who tells me I have a gift and that we are supposed to share our gifts, that I am supposed to share my gift. It's just that. I think right now I'm too broken to share in a way he thinks I'm supposed to. I don't know if I can ever be unbroken. I know. I can answer that question. Yes, you can. But I hope he is right, that I'm supposed to share what he calls my gift, that maybe there's a reason, a purpose, and a use for what I have inside of me, that maybe there's something another one can be blessed with my sharing my gifts with you. A blessing, comfort, hope, peace, something. Maybe it's just giving back a piece of love that was shared with me at one point in my life. Thank you for your time, and may you, your families, and your church receive all the life blessings. ALC. A period, L period, C period. Then they tell what the songs are. But amen. This message is out there. Amen. A lot of times we think that nobody's picking it up, but they're picking it up. And she didn't leave a name or address or anything, so there's no way to even respond. So maybe if she listens to the services, she can understand this. You are welcome to come here at any time. You're welcome here. And no, you don't have to be broken. God's the mender of broken hearts. And there's a lot of us have been broken, but we've been fixed. You know, we've been renewed. So, Jeremiah, I'm going to give them to you, and you can give Jay, or give Courtney Jay's, and enjoy them. Beautiful. So it shows you it's important for us to do what we're doing. Yes. Because it's helping more than just 1744. And I get texts and emails from people around the world. I don't bring them all here because, you know, it's just what it is. You know, I'm not here to try to promote and say, oh, look at what we're doing. No, it's there. I just want you to understand that it is doing what it was set up to do. And so God bless you. And thank you for your help and your support in what you do. Because if it wasn't for you, I couldn't do it by myself. And if it wasn't for me, you couldn't do it by yourself. So it's a body. So it's good to be a body. And I'm glad to be a part of this body. Amen. Because this is a special group. Y'all are a special group of people. And I don't want you to take each other for granted. But realize that God's called you purposely to this church for a reason. Your testimonies, your songs, your music, your preaching, every bit of that has a part to play in what God's doing in the hour that we're living in. And as you can see, if you haven't gotten anything else out of these brothers coming, you can see we got some good preachers in our church. Amen. We do. We do. And that's not to take away from them. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, your wife is good, but my wife's the best. You know, so I appreciate being able to let you see where your ministries, because when we go around the world and we're confronted out there and we have to do question and answers and do things out there, these brothers know what they're talking about. Right. And they know how to tie it. They know how to make it run. And I appreciate it with everything that lies within me. So for a few minutes this morning, I want to talk. We're going to come back this evening. We have question and answers tonight. So this morning I want to talk a little bit out of the book of Matthew chapter 21. And if you want to start with me over at verse 18. Now this was Jesus and his disciples. And this was actually talked about in multiple places. Mark had a place, I think it was. I think I had that in here. It was Mark or John. It was Mark, chapter 11. Same story, same scenario. Just had a little bit more information on it. But I just want to start here because this sort of put it in a nutshell in these few verses. Verse 18, now in the morning, as he returned to the city, he was hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon, but leaves only, and said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforward forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? Now, over in Mark, it was like the next day. But over here in Matthew, they should have combined it together, even though it was the next day. They just put it all together that it did. I mean, a tree dying overnight, that's quick. That's quick. Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. I want to title the message this morning, Standing on the Promises. I want to talk about this because we don't understand, I don't think, how powerful the word is. Now, I'm not talking about any word. I'm talking about the word of God. I ain't talking about your word. I ain't talking about my word. I might say something and think it's powerful and it ain't nothing. But when it's God's word, there is nothing more powerful than the word of God. And starting here, Jesus was giving us a promise. He said, you can do what I'm doing. So a lot of times we look at what Jesus is doing and we think that he's the only one that can do it. Jesus ain't the only one. Jesus was the first one. You know, he was the firstborn of many brethren. He is not trying to do this to himself. See, a lot of times we get selfish and we just think it's God and he's trying to. No, he wants to spread it. He wants to be in a many-membered body. He never wanted to be by himself. If it was all about just being Jesus, he could have wrapped this thing up 2,000 years ago. But it wasn't about him. It was about him getting in you. So when you're looking at the word of God, you got to understand that's not just any old Bible. Not any old word. Not any old book. You know, we look at the word of God and we almost think it's just like all the rest of the books. But it's not. This is the word of God. Amen. And the inspired word of God, thank you, John, is inspired of God. Amen. It was spoken by God. It was written by God. It was put in by God. Amen. So that we can stand on it and use it. Amen. God wants us to use his word. He wants us to have his word. He wants us to be able to do these things. He don't want us to be poor and broke and tore down and down and out. It's his wishes that you prosper. He wants you to do well. And if you use his word, you will do well. Our problem is a lot of times we don't use the word of God like we should. We use the word of God for comfort, and it is. We use the word of God for reading pleasures, And it is. We use the word of God to hammer somebody else over the head. And we do. We use the word of God to prove how good I am and how bad you are. We use the word of God as a weapon. We use the word of God for all kind of things. But God speaks his word for us to be able to take that word and stand on it.
Amen.
He wants you to believe it with all your heart. Not just take it in passing and just say, oh, well, it's a good old thing. No, the word of God is something you should build your life on.
Amen.
And if you, and he told you how to do it here. You got to believe it. He said, if you can believe this thing, and you realize, you know what? You got to, there's levels of faith. Some people can have faith in a healing and not have faith in the word of God. They'll take part of the word of God and believe it, and the word that they have will work for them, but they don't believe the whole report. And he said, the man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word.
Amen.
You got to take the whole word. I believe in healing. I believe in salvation. I believe in everything the Bible says.
Amen.
And that's the hour that we're living in, that we got to take every word. You can't just pick and choose and decide, well, I'm going to believe this part, I'm not. That's what denominations do. They want the healing, but they don't want the profit. They want the blessings, but they don't want the responsibilities. They don't want to take up their cross and follow him. They want to have the enjoyment of God anointing them and giving them cars and giving them jobs and giving them houses and blessing them in the natural. But I'd rather be blessed in the spiritual than be blessed in the natural.
Amen.
Some people gauge how much they're in love with God by what God gives them.
Right.
But it's not about your worldly wealth and your riches. It's not about God giving you a bunch of natural things. It's not about, if you get natural things, thank God.
Right.
But if you don't have natural things, thank God.
Amen.
If you're rich, thank God. If you're poor, thank God. None of those things will change the word of God.
That's right.
He wants us to stand on his word, believe his word, apply his word, right. Use his word to get what his word said he's going to fulfill.
Right.
Only the bride can believe God
100%.
Nobody else can. They'll take bits and pieces of it. That's why you got all these different churches, different denominations. That's why you got all these different message churches, because they take bits and pieces of what God says, but you got to take every bit of it.
Amen.
Not many people can take it all. You're sitting here today and you're taking for granted that you can believe it all. You're taking for granted that while I'm preaching, yeah, of course you're going to say amen.
Yeah.
While the word's going forth, you're taking for granted that you can receive this thing,
amen.
And it goes on that level. Like Melanie said, my soul is perfect.
Amen.
You take for granted. But you got to understand, most people can't eat what you're eating.
Right.
Most people cannot believe the full report.
Amen.
While I'm preaching, they're denying it. While I'm talking, they're saying, oh, that's not the truth. While I'm preaching the word of God right out of the Bible, they say, well, I don't believe it that way. That was back in the days of Jesus. That was something that happened back then. But I'm telling you, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he said, if you can believe this thing, not anybody else but you. It's not even a group salvation. God's not in here today trying to get us as a group to believe this thing. He's trying to get you as an individual to believe this thing. If thou can believe, all things are possible.
Amen.
They were marveling over the fig tree, but the fig tree wasn't nothing. Jesus wasn't so crazy about the fig tree. He said, not only will you be able to do this, but if you say to the mountain, you can move mountains. He said, that fig tree's nothing. The fig tree lives on the mountain. He said, you're all happy about this fig tree. You see that mountain over there? If you can believe. See, that's the key point. You got to believe. You got to have faith in God. You got to know God for yourself. You can't know it because your husband. You can't know it because your wife. You can't know it because your family. You can't know it because of your friends. You've got to know God for yourself.
Right.
And if you know God for yourself, it's going to do something for you. If God in you doesn't change you, then God's not in you.
Right. Amen.
That's why we don't have to follow each other around and legislate living and legislate dress and legislate hearing and legislate hair and legislate shoes and legislate, legislate, legislate. We don't have to do that. Let God direct you.
Amen.
If you can get away with it and God ain't talking to you, then what do I have to say? But when God talks to you, if you're a believer, you're going to stand on what God says.
Amen.
And it doesn't matter what anybody else says.
Amen.
Everybody else might say go this way. And if God's telling you go this way, you're going to go where God says go.
Amen.
If God tells you to believe this and God shows it to you, you're going to believe it no matter what. I didn't follow Brother Childers just because I was following Brother Childers. I was following Brother Childers because the word of God was coming out of his mouth.
Amen.
I didn't just take what he said because he said it. I waited for a clear-cut decision by the Holy Ghost on everything. You thought I just followed him. No, I didn't follow him just because I was following him. I waited on God to reveal to me what I needed to know. Brother Childers even told you himself, he said, even when he decided and him and God and talked about marrying Sandy, I didn't accept it. I'd be the first one to tell you. Well, I'd be the second because he was the first. He told you, he said, Brother Nate didn't believe it. He wouldn't step out on it. And no, I didn't. And no, I wouldn't. And I wouldn't step out on nothing that God don't show me.
Right.
But when God shows me,
yeah,
I'll step out on it. Not only did he show it to me, I married him.
Amen.
The thing is, when you're here in church and that word is coming forth, you're not just accepting it because I'm saying it. There is something on the inside of the inside of you. There's got to be something on the inside of you that agrees with the word that's being spoken. It's not because it's me. It's not because I'm a nice guy. It's not because I've been in a message so long. It's not because I know so much. It's because the words that I speak are eternal life, and something on the inside of you identifies with that word. You may not even be able to speak it like I can. You may not even be able to break it down like I can. But something on the inside says that is nothing but the truth.
Amen.
Then you got a believer on your hand. Oh, we get nervous because we don't know a lot. We get nervous because we can't say it like Brother Deskin can say it. We get nervous because we don't know how to tie it like the preacher. But your job's not to tie it. Your job is to believe it. If you can only believe the word of God when it comes forth, that's all you need. If you believe the word of God, it'll do everything it needs to in your life. It'll show you things. He said he'll take a mind and he'll show it unto you. If God gets inside of you whenever the word comes forth, you cannot help but to believe. That's who we are. That's why they call us believers, because we believe the report. He said, don't worry about the fig tree. That ain't nothing. I can make the whole mountain move. You can make the whole mountain move. You can ask what you will. See, and that people get mixed up with that. Because people think asking what you will is asking what you want. Remember, your will and God's will should be the same.
Yeah.
So when you ask something, it's going to be according to the will of God. Not unto my will. Not my will be done, but thine be done.
Yeah.
When it's something to ask according to the will of God, it'll be right straight with the word of God.
Yeah.
Every time.
Amen.
Jesus looked at the scriptures. The scripture said he had to go by way of Calvary. Jesus didn't want to go by way of Calvary. Jesus wanted to live just like you want to live. Jesus wanted to grow old. Jesus wanted to have a family. Jesus wanted to settle down. But Jesus couldn't settle down because he had a bigger role to play. The scripture already said what his end was going to be. He knew it and didn't want it. People think Jesus skipped up to Calvary. He didn't skip up to Calvary. He did not want to go. Sometimes you don't want to die to your thinking. Sometimes you want to keep your ideas. Sometimes you think you know better, but you don't know better. Jesus didn't know better. He had to do the will of the Father. That was what he was here to do. And you have to do the will of the Father because that's what you're here to do. So when God's will and your will lines up, what you ask, you'll get. Sometimes you don't get because you don't ask according to the will of God. You got to remember, sometimes the will of God ain't sweet. Sometimes the will of God ain't fun. Sometimes the will of God makes you alone. Sometimes the will of God makes you lose your loved ones. Sometimes the will of God makes you lay your friends aside. Sometimes the will of God makes you move houses, move churches, move everything. But it's the will of God, not your will. Our problem isn't that we don't have a will, but the problem is it the will of God? See, you'll have everything that you need if it's done according to the will of God. And if it's according to the will of God, it'll always be yes.
Yes. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. All right, Lord.
You have not. Because you ask not. Or you do ask, but you ask a bunch of your own lust.
Yes.
Your own will. Your own direction. And when you don't get what you want, you get mad at God because you think it's God's problem and God told you no and he ain't answering you. Oh, God told you what he wanted you to know because if it doesn't line up with his will, he's not responsible for it. If you can believe, you can ask anything. And if it's according to the will of God, it will be done unto you.
Amen.
Simple as that. We get mad at God when the answer is no.
Right. Uh-huh.
You should tell yourself, you know what? That wasn't the will of God.
Right.
And we think that's a cop-out, but it's not.
Also.
You don't get it because it's not going to help you fulfill the part of the word that you're here to do.
Amen.
Jesus was here to do the will of God.
Right.
And you're here to do the will of God.
Amen.
Sometimes we'll ask, we'll say, God, I need you to heal somebody. And he doesn't heal them. First thing we say is, God didn't answer my prayer. You know how you should be praying? Lord, this is what I want. But according to your will, let it be done.
Amen.
Then you're not disappointed. Then you're not heartbroken. Then you don't feel like God's left you. Then you don't feel like you're all alone. Then you don't feel like, well, God, you never talked to me. Oh, no. God, I'm led by the will of God.
Amen.
I'm a son of God. I have faith in God. See, a lot of people don't have faith in God. Not fully. And the moment God starts doing his will in their life, they're like, but wait a minute, Lord, I want to go this way. And God's taking you this way. And you're like, wait a minute, Lord, I prayed that you give me that. And God said, no, I'm not giving you that. And you're like, Lord, but this is what I want. And you don't get that. And you're still going this way. And you're like, well, God doesn't love me. God don't listen to me. God never gives me what I want. He doesn't answer my prayer. God's answering your prayer the whole time. When you got the will of God in your life,
amen.
Every footstep is ordered.
Amen.
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 Not only this fig tree, but greater things than that I'll give you.
Come on.
Right.
Ask in faith.
Ask believing.
Have faith in God's will.
But you got to have faith in God's word.
Yeah.
Because God's will is God's word.
Right.
Lord, I don't want anything in my life that doesn't match your word.
Amen.
Lord, I don't want you to give me anything that doesn't match your word.
Yeah.
Lord, I don't want to walk anywhere that doesn't match your word.
Amen.
Lord, I don't want to believe anything that doesn't match your word.
Yeah.
Not my will, but thine be done. Oh, I want this, but I'd rather have your will. Oh, I'd like this, but I'd rather be in your will.
Yeah.
That's a believer for you. That's somebody that loves God. That's somebody when the word comes forth, they can say, I can hear it. I believe it. I can believe that. And y'all are sitting here believing all of this and don't even hardly give God, look up to give God thanks for what he's allowed you to believe.
Amen.
Amen. We wonder why we don't get what we ask.
Because
that's not what we should understand. It's not according to the will of God. And you got to understand, you are here to fulfill the word. You're not here to have a wife and kids. You're not here to have a good retirement. You're not here to have a good job. You're not here to have some security. You're not here to have... Jesus didn't even have a place to lay his head. But he was right smack dab in the middle of the will of God. We get mad because we don't get a promotion. Lord, I want this. Lord, I need this. No, you don't. Because you know what happened? You get that promotion and you get to thinking you're somebody. You get that promotion, then all of a sudden you're too busy to come to the house of God. You get that promotion, the house ain't good enough. The car ain't good enough. The church ain't good enough. You get that promotion and then you got to move to some bigger place where you're going to be seen and heard. You get that promotion, you walk yourself right out of the will of God.
Amen.
So God keeps you humble. He said, but also if ye, you, number one, you got to realize you're in the will of God. If something's in the way of me preaching this message, I can ask God to move it, and he will. He will. That's according to his will. Amen. His will is for me to be the manifested word of the hour.
Yes. Right.
And nothing's going to stop that.
Right.
Amen. Right.
Amen.
I might have to give up a job. Yeah. I might have to give up a wife. Yeah. I might have to give up a husband. Yeah. Brother Branham had a wife and she got in the way of the will of God. Yeah. What did God do? He didn't pat him in the back and said, that's okay. God took her. You're not going to stop the will of God.
Amen.
You cannot stop the will of God. Our problem is that we don't see the will of God. If you can see the will of God, you won't be so trying to keep yourself together. If you see that, you know what? I'm the Word of God made flesh for the hour that I'm living in. And everything that I'm doing is going to be for his will and his pleasure. Then you can take your hands off your life. You can take your hands off your job. You can take your hands off your friends. You can take your hands off your future. You don't have to worry about none of that because thy will be done, Lord, in my life. Not my will, but thine. If you doubt not, if you have faith, faith is a revelation, understanding. If you have an understanding of the day and hour that you're living in and why we're here, why are you letting anything get in your way? Why are you down about anything? Why are you depressed about anything? I'm a son of God. I'm the children with my heart turned back. I'm going to get the debt up. I've got a job to do. I'm going to do this. I'm going to be fulfilling that scripture. That's the will of God. That's really all we want. That's really, if you get a wife and kids, that's fine. Get a good job, that's fine. But that's really not what we're here for.
No.
I look at Christy, she'd like to have Alex next to her. That's fine. But you know what? If he didn't come, you know where she's going to be? I tell you, we can get real personal with that, ask for me in my house. Because a lot of times we'll say our home, my wife and my kids. But no, if Clary starts looking cross-eyed, that's for me at my house.
Amen.
This house is going to serve the Lord.
Amen.
That's how personal I can get with it. Because
right.
I'm a believer.
Amen.
If you have faith, revelation. People don't have revelation. And all you're getting, get an understanding. Get a revelation. If you can get a revelation of the day and hour that you're living in, you'll fulfill what you're supposed to do, and it won't even be something that you have to feel like you're almost giving up. It's like, is that it? I just got to be the children to have my hearts turned back? I got to get the debt up? That's the will of God. See, the thing is, you got to understand what the will of God is. God's will is his word. And your life should line up with the word of God. And when the word of God lines up with your life, you're right smack dab in the middle of the will of God.
Amen.
And then you can have faith. You can have a revelation to know that you're about your father's business. And when he says you can bind, then you can bind. When you're loose, see, we're not just binding and loosing anything. We're binding loose things according to the will of God. See, if you got the will of God in your life, you know you can take your loved ones. If you got the will of God, the word says you can. If you got the will of God in your life, you know you can tell people that they can come with you. Jesus did. On Calvary. Thief on the cross. Wasn't repentant and baptized and hallelujah, pray until the tongues come and all that. He looked at him and said, Lord, I believe you. He said, today you'll be with me in paradise. He knew who he was. When you know who you are, you can have perfect faith in your life because it's going to be perfect word walking the earth. When I walk the earth, the word of God is walking the earth. When you walk the earth, the word of God is walking the earth. You realize that?
Amen.
Because you are perfect word. Have a revelation and don't doubt. Have a revelation of who you are. Have a revelation of why you're here. Have a revelation that God has called you. He's selected you. He's chosen you. Because out of all the people in the world that can hear the word of God, you're one of the one and the only few that can do that. You look around this church and say, well, there's a lot of people here that believes the word of God, but this ain't nothing. Ain't a lot of people that can believe the word of God. Most people turn this down in a heartbeat. Most people don't want it. Well, that's why the church's not packed. That's why the young people aren't here. That's why the old people aren't here. They don't want to be here. They don't believe this report. But I cannot help but to believe the report. I cannot help but to say it's the truth. I cannot help but to manifest the word of mine today. Because when you, by faith, believe the word of God, it will manifest it out. It'll manifest itself out through you with every heartbeat.
Amen.
You don't have to put on. You don't have to make up something. You don't have to try to fit in. You don't have to try to make it work. You don't have to try to make yourself holy. You don't have to try to make yourself ready. You don't have to get right church. Because you're already right. He made you right. He made you ready. You believed the report. You couldn't even believe the report unless he let you. You didn't say this is the truth because you just stumbled across it and you're so smart. He revealed this personally to you. And when he revealed this to you, first thing it did was tie you to a body. And let you see that this is a part of me and I'm a part of it. I'm a part of you. I'm a part of them. But it was the word of God that was, God was quickening. It wasn't anything that God's just making up on the fly. He speaks his word. And when God speaks the word, it will come to pass. It will come to pass. All we're doing is believing what God already said. See, the thing is, people don't believe God. They read this Bible, but they don't believe God. You can go in and show them over in Malachi where we're supposed to have a prophet at the end of time. They don't believe that. And a bit more than a man in the moon. They don't believe that. And you look at it and say, how can you not believe it? You can't help but to believe it because of who you are. They can't help but not to believe it because of who they are. St. John 8, how can you not receive my words? Even because it has no place in you. You got to have a place in you, a revelation in you, an understanding in you to even be able to believe this thing. But if you can have faith in the revelation that God's shown you, the word of God, you can have whatever you need.
Amen.
He didn't put any stipulations on there and said, well, you can have you can tell this mountain to move if you do this or if you do that. All he asked you to do is have faith and believe.
Amen.
Brother Branham preached, and he's saying only believe all the time in his services. Why? Because he was trying to get us to believe. If you could get the people to believe, not even cancer can stand before you. If you can get people to believe who they are, why they're here, why God called you, what the scripture is saying about you and the hours you're living in, if you can get the people to believe that, nothing will stand in your way. If I had this and if I had that, then I could do better. No. He'll supply all your needs. When he calls you, he gives you everything you need to fulfill his word. He doesn't promise something and then leave you out there trying to figure out how to make it work. If you can have faith and doubt not, you're not only going to do that with the fig tree, but you can tell the mountain. You can tell the mountain. What mountain? What mountain?
Yeah. Right.
Think about that.
Yeah. Come on, come on.
What's in your life?
Right.
What are you living with every day that you can't get around?
Right.
What are you living with every day that you can't get across? Okay. What are you living with every day that's getting in the way of you fulfilling God's word for the hour that you're living in?
Right.
What's in the way of you fulfilling the scripture of your day?
Right.
What mountain do you have that you feel like, oh, well, see, when we read that, the first thing we think is a natural mountain. Rocks, and gravel, and dirt, and hills. But the mountains that you have in your life are not those kind of mountains. You might be your own mountain. You get in your own way. You can't have what God wants because you don't believe it yourself. Your family could be your mountain.
Right.
What's keeping you from fulfilling the word for your day? What's holding you back?
Amen.
What's keeping you out of church?
Amen, Lord. Yeah. Amen.
Mountains, problems, troubles, obstacles, people, places, jobs, family, ourselves. What mountain? What's your mountain? We're thinking that, well, if I ever run across a mountain that I have to move, I can speak the word because God's word says so. No, you're living in a mountain every day.
Amen.
You got a mountain every day that crosses your path. And what are you going to do with that mountain?
Amen.
Going to accept it? You going to climb the rough side? Going to try to hang in, hang on till God does something different? No, I don't have to have this in my life. The word of God said that I'm here to fulfill the scripture. The word of God said I'm the last voice, the final voice to the final age. The word of God said, see, you're going to have to put the word of God in your life, on your mountain, so that you can move that thing out of your way. Whatever it is. Oh, it might be smoking. It might be a problem. It might be a habit. It could be anything, but that's your mountain.
Amen.
But the word of God's called you for a greater cause than to have a mountain standing your way.
Right.
Moses' mountain was the Red Sea.
Right.
He thought he was trapped. Thought he couldn't make it. Thought he couldn't go nowhere. Thought he got to the end. Thought it was over. And God looked at him and said, man, I brought you out of Egypt. I brought you all this way. Who did those signs and wonders in Egypt? Was that you? Was it your abilities? Did you bring us this far, Moses? Who was it that went through the city of Egypt that night? Was it you, Moses? Who was it that led you by a cloud by day?
Yeah.
And a pillar of fire by night. Was that you, Moses?
Right.
And you come to a mountain?
Yeah.
Come on.
And you're going to cry? Because now you feel like you got to go another way when God's word said go this way?
Amen.
And you're trying to pick another way, Moses?
Right.
Why cry? Why are you standing here, church, crying? Why are you crying over your mountains? Why are you crying over your troubles? Why are you crying over your problems when God's word already told you where you're going?
Amen.
We forget we're going to heaven.
Come on.
We're forgetting that he already promised.
Amen.
When he got Moses taught and sanctified and put him to work, he already told him he's going to the promised land. He never had to take that back. God's never had to take back where he told you he's taking you to. You're headed for the promised land. You're going to go all the way. Why are you going to let this problem stand between you and your ordained way? He is a keeper of his word. Our problem isn't that he doesn't keep his word. Our problem is that we don't believe he can keep his word. We let our mountains hold us up. We let our mountains slow us down. We let our mountains make a mess of us. When God said, just speak the word, have faith.
Have faith, church. Have faith in who you are. Have faith that he's called you. Have faith that his word already said what you're going to be. Have faith that he's going to take you all the way. Why are you struggling with your little problem, thinking that you're not going to make it through this one? I'll make it if this earthly tabernacle be dissolved. I'm not even worried about that, because God's word already said. God's word. I'm having faith in God's word. I'm not having faith in my abilities. I'm not having faith in your abilities. I'm having faith in the word of God. God's word said. God's word said. God is a keeper of his word. If you can find out what his word is, then you can find out what God's going to keep.
Amen.
Sometimes we just don't look up enough to see what it is that God's really trying to show us. We spend too much time in the mud and the muck of this life and not even looking up to realize, wait a minute, I'm a daughter of God. I was called of God, chosen of God, selected by God, used by God. To do what? To fulfill the word for your hour. And if you are chosen to fulfill the word for your hour, there is nothing, nothing can stand in your way. No mountain will stand in your way. God said that you're going to do this, and you will do it. We get bogged down with our wishes. Somebody said he's not like Santa Claus. Give you a wish list. We give God all kind of wishes of what we want done. But it ain't about God's wishes. It's not about our wishes. It's about the will of God. And his will is his word. And if you're living your life according to the word of God, whatever you need, you'll have. Whatever you have need of, God will supply. Whatever you need out of your way, God will move. You just need to know who you are. Start acting like you're a son of God. Start acting like you're a daughter of God. Stop letting Satan put things in your way that keep you from the word of God. Stand on his promises. If God said it, you can stand on it. If God said it, it's mine. If God said it, I can build my life on it. If God said it, nothing's going to hinder me. What shall separate me from the love of God? Nothing. Nor height, nor depth, nor things present, or things to come. That's how Paul felt. What you going to let stand in your way? You're doing the will of God. Nothing's going to separate you from this will.
Amen.
Nothing's going to separate you from the word.
Amen.
What's going to separate you? Nothing.
Amen.
Right.
You're one. Brother Branham said here. He said, we must focus our lives, not what somebody else says, but focus our lives to him. And he is the word.
Amen.
See, if we get our lives in line with the word, then the word and our lives become the same.
Amen.
If I'm sitting here saying the scripture tells me that the children are going to have their hearts turned back to the fathers, and if that has happened to me, then me and the word are the same.
Amen.
Jesus told him, he said, search the scriptures. These are they that testify of me.
Right.
He said, if you abide in me and my word in you, then ask what you will. It'll be granted to you. Verily I say unto you, if you say to this mountain, be moved, and don't doubt in your heart, but believe that what you have said will come to pass. A couple of key points there. You got to believe it.
Amen.
And you got to say it, and then you got to wait.
Right.
Faith is the substance of things hoped for.
Right.
You don't have it when you got faith.
No.
It's not in your hand. You're hoping for it. You're waiting for it. You're looking for it. That's what faith is about. That's what faith is all about. That's why the world don't understand believers, because they don't have faith.
Amen.
That's right.
And we can't understand the world because we don't have anything but faith.
Right.
I can't see how nobody can't believe this.
Right. Right.
Amen.
If you say to this mountain, be moved, and doubt it in your heart, but believe that what you said will come to pass, you can have what you said. Oh my, not what I said. What you said. We think it's just the preacher. We think it's just the prophet. We just think it's Paul. We just think it's the apostles. It's you. You as a believer. If you look in the Word of God and you see what's to be fulfilled by you, then believe that thing and it will manifest itself out through you with every heartbeat. I'm not trying to make myself the last one, the final voice to the final age. I'm not trying to make myself that. I am that.
Amen.
How do you know that? I believe that. Amen. How do you believe that? God showed it to me. He revealed it to me that I'm the final voice to the final age. Nobody can do what I'm doing. So what's going to stand in the way of me doing it? What's going to keep you from doing what you need to do? Not what I said, what you said you can have, because you and he become the same. When you look in the Word and you see what God's promised and you look at your life and your life matches the Word
as the scripture
has said, then you and the Word are one. You are the living manifestation of what you read. It's not enough just to read it. It's not enough just to be around it. You have to be it. Our kids, sometimes they're sitting out there in the world right now thinking they're good enough, they got enough God or whatever they're thinking, I don't know, but they're not here. But that's not enough. You have to become the living Word. You have to become the children with their hearts turned back. You have to become Luke 17:30. See, you have to become the living scripture. Now you're talking about believing. Now you're talking about the will of God. Now you're talking about things coming to pass because I need it done. See, God's going to fulfill his word no matter what. It's not going to, you know what? If I die tomorrow, God's word will still march on. This truth will still march on. Those that are alive and remain will still be changed in the moment of a twinkling of an eye. He said, well, won't you be mad? No, I won't be mad. I'll be waiting on you. I can't lose. I cannot lose. If I go by way of the grave, I win. If I go by way of a body change, I win. Because the mind that was in Christ is in you. And the mind that was in Christ was to fulfill the Father's word. That should be in our mind. That's what we're about. We're not about socializing and having a good old time and ha 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 have parties. We're about the will of God. What do we need to do to get this thing done? What we need to do. You know, I'm spending all my time on, okay, Lord, how can I help us to become one body? Because I know we have to be one. And then we have to be one. And then we'll get changed and go up to be with him and be one.
Right.
Lord, what can I do in this little space of time called Nate's life?
Yes. Right.
What mountain can I speak to get out of my way so that I can do a better job?
Yes.
Fulfill your word more clearly.
Yes.
So when they look at me, they see you. I walked in a store the other day. I was going in a store. Man stopped me at the door, opened the door for me. He said, you look like a preacher. I said, I'm undercover. But people are drawn to you. They want to know what makes you act like you do. It's the word of the hour. They want to know why you're different. It's not because you're making yourself different. It's just because of who you are. So the mind that was in Christ to fulfill the Father's word, which he was the word, there you are, then you and the Word are focused in together. You become a living unit of God. How great. When you're a living unit of God, you are living by the Word of God. Your life lines up with the Word of God. And then whatever gets in your way, if you are the Word of God, tell it to go. It's got to move. It's got to move. We got to get this job done. That's got to move. They try to turn the lights out on the building. It's got to move, John.
Right.
We'll get the money somewhere.
Amen.
Because God said, we will get the job done. And in our own personal lives, we don't stand on the promises enough. And the promises isn't that God's just going to take care of you and be good to you and be your sugar daddy and make sure you have everything that you want. That ain't the will of God. The will of God is rugged. The will of God is His Word. And the will of God is when I'm walking through life, I'm walking in the Word of God. I am the manifested Word of God. And whatever I need to get the job done, that's what I can do. Move everything out of the way. If job gets in the way, move it. Family gets in the way, move it. Your pride gets in the way, move it. Your own problems get in the way, move it. Why? I'm the Word of God. I'm walking in the will of God. He said, I don't need much, God. I just need a little. You need every chance you get. Amen. You need all the God that we have to offer. Amen. So I just come here and there periodically. No, you need to come every time you can. Because the will of God is being dished out right here. The Word of God is being dished out right here. And if you're not here, you're missing it. He said over there in St. John 15, if ye abide in me, in my word, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. So see, a lot of people take that scripture and try to say everything I asked for. That was a question last Sunday night. Do we just get what we asked for? Oh, no, it's got to be according to the will of God. God sometimes will bless you with a new car, but that ain't His will. You can do His will if you're walking. That ain't nothing to do with the will of God. Some people take the blessings that they get because God's just good, and they make that the will of God. The will of God is whatever it takes for you to fulfill the Word of God. That's God's Word being fulfilled out through you. That is the will of God. When God's scripture said, forsake not to assemble yourselves together, and you're assembling yourselves together, you are living in the will of God. You wake up on Sunday morning, you say, I don't feel like going today, but you say, wait a minute, the will of God says, wait a minute, I want to be in the middle of the will of God, His perfect will. His perfect will is His perfect word. Now, His permissive will might let you sleep in. But that's not His perfect will. His perfect will is for you to assemble yourself together. That's how easy the scripture is to be fulfilled. We think we got to be a big evangelist or something, got to do something great and mighty in front of God in order for us to be in the will of God. The will of God is a man getting his lunchbox and going to work every day and supplying the food for his family. He's fulfilling the word. It's his responsibility to take care of that home. He's fulfilling the word. She getting up and taking care of the home and doing the dishes and cleaning whatever. She's the keeper of the home. She's fulfilling the word. You say in the hour that we're living in, they both have to work, then go work. That's still fulfilling the word because she's a helpmate. She's supposed to help him, and he's supposed to help her, and they work together to fulfill the will of God. It ain't that hard. Everybody like, oh, I don't like headship. That's because you're trying to do your will instead of the will of God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. You can't even do the will of God without faith. You might do a lot of good works. You might do a lot of good things. Build hospitals, pay your tithes, do a lot of stuff. But if it's done without faith, God ain't even worried about it. It's sin. It's sin. He said, well, I'm doing... Some people don't even know why they pay tithes. Somebody told me. That's what we're supposed to do. But if you don't match the word with it, it's sin. If it's not done by revelation, I don't even want your money if it's not done by revelation. It'll mess you up. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. The very evidence. What is the evidence? The proof. If you don't have faith, if you don't have revelation, you don't have nothing to stand on. You can carry that Bible all you want, and you don't understand how important it is to have those promises revealed to you
because those promises are showing you you are in conjunction to the Word of God. Nobody else will see that but you. Nobody else can do that but you. Because it's you and God. It's not me, you and God. All my job is to preach the Word. God's job is to talk to you personally, reveal it to you, so that you can see where you're at in the Word. And then when you look at your life, you can look back at the... See, the thing about it, we look back to the Word and see what we are. We're not looking to the Word and then going to fulfill it. We're fulfilling it and then going back and saying, oh, I did that.
Right.
Oh, that's me. Yeah. What did John do in the book of Revelation? He saw his name. He recognized that was him. Right. He said, oh, man, that's me in the book. So if it's not done by faith, you're wasting your time.
Right.
If coming to church is not done by faith, you're wasting your time.
Right.
If serving God isn't done by faith, you're wasting your time.
Amen.
If your life doesn't match the Word of God, you're wasting your time.
Amen.
You got to have something to stand on. Faith is a substance that you can stand on. Faith in what? The Word. The Word says, and I can believe it. Nobody else can do this, people. I mean, we take it for granted because we got a church full of believers. But most people don't believe this. And you can't explain it to them. And when you try to explain it to them, it sounds like, And then they look at you like you're crazy because, like, you don't even know what you believe. I may not know what I believe, but I believe what I know. You don't know it all. I don't have to know it all.
Right.
See, that's what Satan's lie is. He tried to tell you, you got to know all the scriptures. You got to know all the quotes. You got to know all that. It's just a bluff. I know what I know. I believe what God has shown me. Matter of fact, I can't believe anything else until God shows it to me. It's not even my responsibility. Satan tried to put it on your shoulders like, you don't believe this. You don't have enough knowledge to know nothing. You don't know nothing. You're just dumb. You don't know. You're just following a man. You just follow, follow, follow. No. God told me that I'm one of them. That may be all I know, but if I'm one of them, I'm waiting on his next revelation because he's going to build on that. I mean, we turned this thing around and made it so difficult, and all you got to do is stand on his promises. If God said it, you can believe he's going to fulfill it. You can bank on it. You can believe that God is not going to take his word back. He's not going to look somewhere else. He's not going to try to update it with something different. He's going to stand right there. Brother Branham said, and I thought this is interesting. He said, in the Statute of Perfect Man, he said, what is sin? It's unbelief. There's only two elements that controls the human being. Only two. That's either doubt or faith. I like that. What's controlling you? Are those mountains so big that you can't enjoy being a Christian? Are the mountains so large that you can't get around it and get your job done? What's hindering you from fulfilling your scripture? What's keeping you from doing what God wants you to do in your life? Why are you holding back? Why are you afraid? What are you afraid of? If God promised something, stand on that thing.
Amen.
I don't care what the devil says.
Amen.
We'll sit and say, well, I would testify, but what? You're supposed to testify. That's what he wants you to do.
Right.
Well, I don't never know what to say. I never know what to say. Take no thought is what he said.
Faith
should be moving in every area of our lives. In your worship, in your testimony, in your playing instruments, in your coming to church, in going to work, in going home. Faith should be playing a part in all that. And not seeing. You just have faith that God's going to take me where I need to go in my next step. One day at a time, sweet Jesus.
Amen.
That's all I'm asking for you.
Give me this strength. That's all I need, just a little bit of strength to make it through this little life. But we get bogged down with the mountain because we look at the mountain. Do you see how big this mountain is? God didn't say little mountains. He didn't tell you how high the mountain could go before it's out of his reach. He just said, the mountain. Any problem, any trouble, anything in your life that's keeping you from the house of God and fulfilling the word of God or slowing you down from doing what God's word says, get it out of your way.
Right.
Say, oh, I can't do it. If you can have faith, you can. If you can stand on the promise, because God's word is true. And he expects you to stand right there. Stand right there. When everything else fails, just stand. When you can't do nothing else, just stand. Because you know, Lord, this mountain in my life is going to go. This too shall pass. It's going to go. I know that for a fact because, see, I'm not believing this on my abilities. It's not my word. It's his word. And God is true to his word. If your sickness is causing you to not be able to fulfill what God's word has called you for to this day, move that mountain.
Amen.
You say, but I don't know how. Confess with your mouth. Believe in your heart. There you go. You confess it first. You say, well, if I confess it, what if I confess it and it doesn't come to pass? Oh, it will come to pass. Because you're not confessing because of how you feel. You might say, I feel bad right now, and I feel sick, but I can't confess my healing because I'm feeling sick. We don't go by sight. We go by the word of God. I believe I'm healed because the word of God says I'm healed, not because I feel healed. I might feel sick, but the word of God says. See, that's how you defeat the devil. It's not because of your abilities. It's because the word says. See, that's where people mess up. They want to do it because they feel like they're doing something. But it has nothing to do with our abilities at all. Amen. It's thus saith the Lord. It's the word of God.
Amen.
And when you step out on the word of God, God's obligated.
Amen.
To his word.
Amen.
He's obligated. And you're stepping out on the word of God because you're trying to fulfill the word for your day and something's in your way. God will come to your rescue because he's obligated to his word. The children will have their hearts turned back. The Son of Man will come on the scene. We will be the one, the final voice to the final age. The Spirit and the bride will say, come. All those things are descriptors for our day that will happen because it's the word of God. Not because we feel like we want to do it. We're going to do it despite ourselves. That centurion went to Jesus. And you know how authority works. He knew how it works. Over there in Matthew 8, he said, if you say the word, all you got to do is just say the word. If the word of God is spoken, it's step out on that thing. Step out, because that's where your faith comes in. Your faith allows you to stand on the word of God. Without faith, you can't stand on the word of God. You might claim the word of God because of the letter, but you won't have a revelation. You won't really believe it, and it might work and it might not. Just like Cain. Cain put up a sacrifice just like Abel did. But Cain did it without revelation.
Right.
So the same God. Serve the real same God. It's like us sitting here in church. Some of you might be serving the real God, and some of you might be serving God, but it's not doing it by faith.
Right.
According to your thinking, what you can do and your abilities, and you think, well, I'm doing pretty good, so I'm one of them. First day you fall flat on your face, you know the difference between a believer and unbeliever? The unbeliever says, man, I'm through. I never did believe it. Can't do this. That's why people walk away. I can't do this no more. Well, you shouldn't have been doing it in the first place. But the true believer say, wait a minute. The word says, it is written, Satan, get thee behind me. It is written, Satan, that I'm an overcomer. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I'm about my Father's business, and you're in my way, and you got to move, mountain.
Amen.
You say, Brother Branham said, you say seeing is believing. You can never be a Christian if you believe that.
Right.
For faith is the substance of the thing hoped for, the evidence of the thing not seen. You cannot be a Christian and have to see things. You say, well, I got to see this out of that church. I got to see this before I believe. Or I got to see this. That's not faith. No. That's your intelligence and your abilities.
Amen.
The whole armor of God is supernatural. Love, joy, peace, faith, long-suffering, goodness, meekness, gentleness, and the Holy Ghost. It's all unseen. Every bit of that. If you're waiting to see things before you're going to believe this, you're in the wrong place because you're never going to see it. You'll never learn enough. You'll never get smart enough. You'll never outsmart me enough to make me feel like you got it. Because that's part of your problem. You're trying to convince me. I'm not the one that you need convincing. If Jesus doesn't know you, not faith.
Amen.
The whole armor is built. It's all unseen. And the Christian doesn't look to what he sees with his eyes. He looks to what he sees with his faith.
Amen.
You're standing on the promises of God, not because you see it, but because God said it, and you're waiting for it to come to pass in your life. You're expecting it. You're expecting it. We know God said it, so we're expecting it.
Amen.
I'm not even now trying. I'm not even expecting the children to have their hearts turned back anymore. I see that.
Right.
When you see something, it's no longer done by faith.
Right.
I'm no longer waiting for the Spirit and the bride to say, come.
Right.
I've seen it.
Right.
And I've already stood there until I saw that promise happen. So what's left?
Right.
To cut this to the chase, to cut this close, to wind this up and end this thing.
Yeah.
What's left? Son of man, manifested at the end time. You don't need faith now for that.
No,
it's here.
Right.
You don't realize how close to the end we are.
Yeah.
Spirit and the bride say come.
Wow.
I don't need faith for that now.
Yeah.
It's here. What's left? Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and a voice, and a trump. That's two-thirds done. The last thing is just for us to unite with the dead. I can only have faith for what I don't see. I don't see the dead. I can have faith in that. I can see God moving all the mountains out of the way, all the problems, all the troubles, and one mountain, the last mountain he's going to move is this tabernacle be changed in a moment and a twinkling of an eye. That's my mountain that I got to get past. That's where my faith is built. That's where my faith lies. That's where I'm hoping for, pushing for. I'm standing on that promise that it will be changed in a moment and a twinkling of an eye, and nothing's going to stand in the way of that. We've got more scripture fulfilled than we have left to fulfill.
Right, right. Amen.
I don't even have that much to believe for now.
No. Shouldn't take much faith at all.
Shouldn't take any faith except for what's on our plate.
Right.
The body change.
Right.
Everything else is taken care of. Our prophet's already come and gone. The word's already been restored.
Right.
The bride has already received the word. Now all we're doing is maintaining till that last thing happens with being changed in a moment in a twinkling of an eye. I don't see any other scripture that'll keep us here from having the rapture happen in our day.
Amen.
We're standing on that promise, church.
Right.
We come here and do what we do because God has given us that revelation right there, and we're standing right there believing God's word,
Amen.
Knowing that that last promise is there for us.
Right.
And just as much as he fulfilled everything, you know, when I went back and looked at it this morning, Isaiah chapter 7, says in there, a virgin shall conceive. That laid there for like seven, the book of Isaiah was written 760 BC. Laid there 700 years. never touched, never moved, never fulfilled. Laid there, and you'd almost think that God forgot it. God is true to his word. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. It laid there 700 years. And then all of a sudden, a virgin conceived. Israel was down in Egypt 400 years to a day. And God come down and fulfilled his word. This promise of the body change laid in the scriptures for so many years, 2,000 years. And it's been laying there, and it's been laying there, and it's been laying there. But it was a promise. It was a promise. Just as much as Acts 2:38, just as much as all the other scriptures, that was laying there for 2,000 years, a promise of us getting changed in a moment of a twinkling of an eye. I'm standing on that promise. I'm standing on that promise. I won't look to the left. I won't look to the right. I won't get tired of waiting. I don't feel no ways tired. I won't let the devil tell me it's been too long. It lasted 700 years. It's lasted 400 years. It lasted 2,000 years. But God's truth is still marching on, and God will fulfill his word just like he fulfilled everything else in the book of Revelation. John told us over there in Revelation chapter 1, blessed is he that readeth and they that hear and understand the words of this prophecy. It's laid there for 2,000 years, and all of a sudden, it all now is history.
Amen.
It was prophecy for 2,000 years, and just like that, it was fulfilled. That body change been laying there for 2,000 years, and just like that, it will be fulfilled, because I'm standing on the promises of God. I'm standing. Lord, you said it, and I'm going to stand right here and believe it. This mountain has got to move, because it's getting in the way of me fulfilling your word. What else do we have to do? Church is built. Bride is on her feet. We know what it is. We can look back and see all the way back and know what it is. What he's been doing the whole time, we now see it. Brother Branham said, when you get a group that can look all the way back, all the way back, and we can look all the way back now, church. We're not missing anything. We're not wondering about anything. We can see the whole entire plan of God.
Yes, sir.
What are you going to do when you get us together in perfectly harmony and knows what it is? Then the rapture can go.
Amen.
That's all that's left, church. I'm standing on his promises. And I've seen him fulfill every bit of that. And we got right down to the last little bit here. And we're looking around. You know, when you move out of a house, sooner or later, you get the last item. You load up the beds. You take the dishes. You pull this down, the pictures. You take all that stuff down. Eventually, you get one last piece. Pick that up and walk out the door. Everything is accounted for. Everything's taken in. Everything's moved on. Church, where are we at? Where are we at in this Abrahamic age? When God's faith is so great amongst us. Not them, us. That we are literally looking for the dead. We are literally looking for the dead. I'm not talking about reading the scriptures and saying, oh, someday. No, I'm looking every day. I know there's no other thing out there but the body change, and I'm literally looking for it every day, because that is a promise of God.
Amen.
Matter of fact, that's the only promise.
Only one left. Amen.
They think we're strange because we're looking for the dead. Think it not strange, church. What else are you going to look for? Well, we could live cleaner. That's good. We can get closer together. That's good. We can do all these things. And we'll do all this while we're here. But you know what? Really, I'm looking for one thing. I got one promise laying there. They said, well, you need to, yeah. Well, you need to, oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, you need to, yeah. And I'll go along with it. But you know, while I'm shushing them down, I'm looking at my promise. I'm pleasing them, but I'm looking at my promise. And they're saying, well, you need to do this better. You need to get your life. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. But I got to focus on my promise. There's only one thing on my plate. I've said it for years. I haven't changed it. People tried to put other stuff on my plate. Have some more potatoes. Have some more beans. Have some more. No, I got one thing on my plate. I don't need nothing else. Just let me finish this one thing. And if I get this one thing finished on my plate, it'll take care of everything. I won't have to worry about my body. I don't have to worry about my age. I don't have to worry about my sickness. I don't have to worry about my troubles. I don't have to worry about my downfalls. I don't have to worry about your downfalls. I don't have to worry about anything. Just let me get that one promise fulfilled, and it'll take care of everything else. Like the domino effect. Standing on God's promises. That's what I'm doing.
Amen.
That's what I'm doing. Nothing else out there. Don't want anything else. Oh, if I'm here another 40 years, 50 years or whatever, that's fine, but it's not going to change my goal. Not going to change my stand. I am standing on the Word of God and what He's promised me. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful this morning for your truth. Thank you for talking to us today and encouraging us and letting us see that, Lord, we really are closer than we seem to understand and think. But, Lord, here we are at the very edge of the body change. None of the scriptures to be fulfilled but that one. Oh, when you go to deal with Israel, that's not us. John was caught up a little higher in chapter 4 of Revelation. That's us. John saw his name in the book of Revelation. That's us. The second time that you said we were going to prophesy would be in the bride. That's us. But in all of those things, that's only done while we're waiting on that one promise. You promised it, Lord. I didn't put it in there. You did. And just as much as you kept your word with Isaiah, just as pure and clear as you kept every other scripture in that Bible, you're going to keep that one too. Now I'm going to focus my attention right there. Let them go to the left and let them go to the right. Let them look at this and let them look at that. And let them tell us we need to clean or do or butter, whatever. That's fine. But Lord, I know I'm standing on the promises of that body change that you have laying right before me. I'm standing on the healing that you said was mine. I'm standing on the deliverance that you said it was mine. Your word said these things. I'm not asking you to do these things. You said you were going to do them. You just said for me to believe it. And Lord, I do believe it. Bless this congregation, Lord. Let us move every mountain out of our way that tries to hinder us from doing what you have foreordained in your word. I know they can't stop us. But Lord, let us recognize that so that we can move those mountains and not cry to you and ask you to do something that you've given us the authority to do ourselves. Thank you, Lord. Make us stronger. Make us more determined. Help us, Father, to push this thing. Thank you for it all. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, musicians. Standing on the promises. I think we'll sing that as we close. Page 31. Thank you. And the only belief. Come back this evening. Bible study and see what the Lord will do for us. We've been blessed, church.
To know what we know, we're blessed. My goodness. Standing on the promises of Christ, my King.
Yes, I'm standing.